We turn for our reading this evening to Peter's second epistle, chapter 1. Second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and we read from verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. May God bless to us that reading this evening. We now commence a series of ministry on the Epistle of James, a most interesting and practical section of Holy Scripture. However, before we begin to look into the Epistle itself, it is necessary to spend a little time in establishing who was the author of this Epistle. Now, this is necessary because there are three men mentioned in the Gospels who bear the name of James. And what is more, each of these three are frequently mentioned in other parts of the New Testament. In expository ministry, such as is our practice here, you see many other scriptures are brought in, and cross-references are examined. It is therefore essential that we know which James we are referring to, or else we shall soon be in a muddle. Indeed, we could even be wrongly interpreting the Word of God. One is not greatly helped by the writings of some commentators. Some say it is one James, and others say it's another. So it will be necessary for us to consult quite a number of scriptures this evening in order to ascertain the man in question. And this we can discover from the scriptures themselves. So this, again, will demand that we gird up the loins of our minds and endeavor to think this matter through. And with the Holy Spirit's enabling, I will do my very best to try and make the matter clear. Because, after all, this is what is required of all who handle the lively oracles of God. The inspired word says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, and this was written to a minister, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says, make full proof of your ministry. And it's incumbent upon every minister to do this, to prove their point, to make full proof of that which they say. So then let us proceed to look briefly into the identity of these three men who bear the name of James. So you might like to follow the scriptures through yourself. We'll turn first of all to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 21. Matthew 4 and verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. James, the son of Zebedee, and the brother of John, the apostle. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 37. Mark 5, 37. And he suffered no man to follow him. This is the Lord, of course. He suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. This James, with his brother John, was a fisherman. And he obviously was in partnership with Simon Peter, which Luke 5 and verse 10 tells us. Luke 5 verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, partners in the fishing business. These three, who were early called by the Lord to discipleship, these three, for some reason, which is undisclosed to us in the Word of God, seem to be especially fitted for very close relationship and intimacy with the Lord. You will remember that they alone were present at our Lord's transfiguration in Matthew 17 and verse 1. They alone of the 12 disciples witnessed the raising of Jairus' daughter in Luke 8 and verse 51. They were the only three taken apart by the Lord in his agony in Gethsemane, as recorded in Mark 14 and verse 33. It was James and John who made a very foolish request, which is recorded in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. I'll read you the words. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. This same James was the first to suffer martyrdom. They had said to the Lord, Yes, we can drink of the cup that you drink of. We are prepared to be baptized with the baptism wherewith thou art baptized. And James was the first of the apostles to suffer martyrdom. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And that was around the year AD 44. Well, this then establishes the identity of one of the James. He was the son of Zebedee. He was one of the 12 apostles, and he was a brother of John. We'll now turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 2. Matthew 10 and verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. Now here in these verses is mentioned James the son of Zebedee, whom we have considered. He's in the list of the 12, and also another James. This one was the son of Alphaeus. And he is referred to in Mark chapter 15 as James the Less. Mark 15 and verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and of Salome. Here this man's mother is mentioned. And she was another of the Marys of Scripture. And she had this son, James, and she had another called Joseph, or Joseph. She also had a daughter called Salome. Mark 16 and verse 1 further expands upon this. Mark 16 verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Luke sheds still further light in chapter 6, Luke 6 and verses 15 and 16. Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. But from these verses we learn that this James, the son of Alphaeus, had a brother named Judas. He was not Iscariot. This Judas is the same as Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. His full name was actually Judas Thaddeus. And he was the son of Alphaeus, and he was the brother of James the Less. Well, why this James, the son of Alphaeus, should be termed by Mark as James the Less, we do not know. Some say he was a younger man than James the son of Zebedee, and it was on account of their difference in age. Others say that the son of Zebedee was a tall and big man, whereas the son of Alphaeus was a little fellow. And that is the reason. Well, both is conjecture. But the title of James the Less does identify him from James the son of Zebedee. Now we come to the third James. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, in verse 1. Mark chapter 6, and verse 1. And he went out, that is the Lord, he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? They were offended at him. Now this James was a brother of the Lord Jesus. Now the Romanists will not accept that the Lord had any brothers or sisters after the flesh. The Romanists insist that Mary forever remained a virgin after Christ was born. Now this is totally erroneous. There are many other scriptures which refer to our Lord as having brothers and sisters after the flesh. Matthew 12, verses 46 and 47, Luke chapter 8 and verse 19, John chapter 2 and verse 12, John chapter 7 and verse 3, they all tell us of the Lord's brothers and sisters. Our Lord was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost before ever she and Joseph came together. When her days were fulfilled, she brought forth her firstborn child, called his name Jesus. He was virgin born, apart from any relationship with man. But after this, she had other children in the normal way, as the scriptures clearly state. This verse 3 of Mark chapter 6 says that our Lord had brothers and sisters. What is more, it says that they were offended at him. These brothers and sisters after the flesh found the Lord embarrassing, although he was their brother. They found him an embarrassment. We must remember that he was sinless. He was sinless, but they were sinful. Joseph and Mary would have to be constantly correcting the others, but not their firstborn. Christ did not develop into a sinless man. He was born sinless. He was a sinless child. He needed no correction. This caused feeling amongst the others. Then as they grew up, and eventually the Lord Jesus embarked upon his public ministry, preaching and performing miracles, the acrimony appears to deepen. John in his gospel tells us plainly in chapter 7 and verse 5 that his brethren did not believe in him. It's clearly stated. His brethren did not believe in him. However, after our Lord's death, resurrection and his ascension, just before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we are told some very wonderful news. And it's found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now we learn of a change of heart on the part of his brethren. They're gathered for prayer with the believers. About 120 of them altogether, we are told in verse 15 of Acts chapter 1. And the names of these brothers of the Lord we have already seen from Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. They were James, Joseph, or Joseph, Judah, who's the same as Jude, and Simon. And of these four brothers, James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon, of these four, two come into quite a degree of prominence, James and Jude. Neither of these two were apostles in the true apostolic sense. By that I mean they were not of the 12. Nevertheless, they were recognized as foremost ministers in the early church. Probably they were loosely looked upon as apostles, just as was Barnabas. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 13, we read, "Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran out among the people, crying and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things?" When the apostles Barnabas and Paul. Well, Barnabas was not an apostle in the strict sense of the word, yet he was styled this in verse 14 here of Acts chapter 14. You see, even Paul was not one of the 12. He was an apostle which was specifically raised up by God to preach to the Gentiles, but he was not one of the 12. Now, coming back to this James, who we are considering at the moment, James, the brother of the Lord after the flesh, we now ought to turn to the first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 15. This is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll read verses 3 to 8. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, that is Paul, as of one born out of due time." Now this is most interesting, brethren and sisters. Yea, it is essential information. The Holy Spirit of God is setting out a list of those who actually saw the risen Christ before his ascension. Cephas is the first mentioned. That is Peter, of course, as we know. Peter is the first mentioned. Well, we know of that very special interview which the Lord had with that disciple who had denied him, when the Lord took him apart and said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And the question was put to him 3 times. So we know that the risen Christ was seen by Peter. He was the first. Then we are told that he was seen of the 12. Seen of the 12. Well, this was the 11, including Peter again, the 11 plus Matthias, who was later numbered with the 12, as Acts 1 verses 15 to 26 tell us. Those who claim and who teach, and there are many, that the selection of Matthias was a mistake, it was done in the flesh, that God appointed Paul, that is contrary to the word of God. Matthias was selected under the sovereign hand of God, and the inspired word says that Matthias was numbered with the 12. The word of God says so. So he was seen of Peter first, then he was seen of the 12, which included Matthias. Included in those 12, of course, were the two James. James the son of Zebedee and James the son of Alphaeus. They were numbered with the 12. Then was the Lord seen by over 500. But it is that which follows, which is so interesting. That which follows. After that, he was seen of James. Well, this is not the son of either Zebedee or Alphaeus. They have already been mentioned. They were included in the 12. This is the third James, our Lord's own brother. This is why he was in that prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1. This is why he was there. Somewhere, at some point, in that 40 days post-resurrection ministry of Christ, the Lord had appeared to his brother after the flesh, and James had seen the Lord in his resurrected body. No longer was he offended and embarrassed. He now must take his place with the faithful, though those faithful be despised. The next mention which we have of this James is in the Galatian Epistle, chapter 1. This is the next mention which we have of this James. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, after 3 years, he'd been 3 years in Arabia, remember. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, this is some 10 to 15 years, or could be more, could even be 20. Some 10 to 20 years after our Lord's ascension. By now, New Testament churches were established in a number of places in the Mediterranean area. And it is obvious that James, the Lord's brother, was held in very high esteem in the church at Jerusalem. You see, here, Paul had gone to see Peter. None of the other 12 were there at that time, only Peter. But this James, although not one of the 12, yet patently he was held in high repute among the Christians at Jerusalem. Indeed, all future references to this man clearly indicate that he was the most prominent and the most influential pastor in that city. When Peter had been miraculously released from prison, you know that thrilling story. His chains fell off and the prison doors were opened, and out walked Peter in the stillness of midnight. When Peter had been miraculously released, as he was, you remember he came and knocked at the door of John Mark. In the house of John Mark, there was a prayer meeting going on in the dead of night for Peter's release. And Peter was out, and he was standing at the door knocking. As soon as Peter's release was known, immediately it was to be reported to James. Acts chapter 12, verse 17. I hope you find this as interesting as I did in study. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 17, "But he," that is Peter, "beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace," that is those that had gathered for prayer in the house of John Mark. "Peter beckoned unto them to hold their peace. He declared unto them how that the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." Show these things unto James and to the rest of the brethren. At the council of the apostles and elders, which were held in Jerusalem, when certain vital spiritual matters had to be discussed, and at this council of the apostles and elders, which was held in Jerusalem to discuss these vital matters, James was in the chair. He presided over that meeting. Acts chapter 15 and verse 13. "And after they had held their peace," that is, after all the others had had their say, "James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Hearken unto me. He was to sum up the situation. Another glimpse of this man is given to us in Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 18. "And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry." Paul goes in to give a report to the elders at Jerusalem. James again presided. Well, this gives us some idea as to the type of man James was and of his spiritual caliber. He was a man of discernment. He was a man of sound judgment. He was one who could see through things. He could assess a person, and he could weigh up a situation. A very practical man. Not a man who was easily swayed. And certainly he was not beguiled with false piety. He wasn't a man who hid behind a cloak of pious phraseology, who would give the impression that he was holier than the rest. He was a man who must always see the evidence before he would believe reports. He was realistic. He was balanced. And he was decisive. Having weighed up a situation, he gave the verdict. Very early Jewish historians state that he was given the title, and he was generally referred to as James the Just. I found this very interesting from Jewish sources, historical sources. He was known amongst them as James the Just. Well, this was doubtless on account of his staunch character and his eminent virtue. This is the man, brethren and sisters. This is the man who, without doubt, wrote the epistle which we are about to study. He was the Lord's brother after the flesh. And his brother Judah, or Jude, whom we have already referred to from Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, he also wrote a small part of the New Testament. He was not an apostle. Nevertheless, a man held in very high regard, and God in his sovereignty by his Holy Spirit entrusted him also, although not an apostle, to write a part of the New Testament. And how does Judas, or Jude, commence his epistle? Verse 1 of his little book, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. No relation to Zebedee or to John or to Alphaeus. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Jude, the brother of James. Here we have two of those five brothers mentioned by Mark. James and Jude, two of the five brothers mentioned by Mark. Remember the verse? Mark 6 and verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Judah and Simon? The carpenter, the son of Mary, he was the Lord Jesus, the firstborn. He was the eldest. Then came James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon. Five sons. There were also daughters. Jude, like his brother James, was obviously a very down-to-earth and forthright man, as can be gathered from the short but very important epistle which he wrote. He, like his brother James, straight to the point, no beating about the bush. What had to be said, though it was cutting. It might appear drastic, but it had to be said. It's the kind of man that Jude was. Now, with all the evidence which has been before us from the Word of God, it should now be perfectly clear which James we are talking about when we come to this epistle. And having this background and this insight into the character of the man, then we should not expect to get from him some flowery essay or some vague, indefinite dissertation. Rather, should we expect a straight from the shoulder, down-to-earth, realistic treatise. And that is exactly what we have from the pen of this brother of the Lord. The man who at one time was offended and embarrassed by him, but through sovereign grace was changed into such an eminent servant of Christ, and later inspired of the Holy Ghost to write as he did in the verses which we shall be studying in coming months, God willing. Oh, may our study of this epistle, written by James the Just, be greatly to our profit and to God's glory. Amen. Hymn number 312. 312. O Holy Ghost, thy people bless, who long to feel thy might, and fain would grow in holiness as children of the light. 312. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.